Gee, you know, during the break, I was thinking of interviewing a machine, bad enough, right? But maybe by 2029, you'll be listening to your new host, the Talkmaster 2500. the talk show host that really is a machine, not a human being at all, and I hadn't considered that. Now I think I'm not as happy. Anyway.
Well, actually, what's really going to happen is we're going to merge with our machines. I mean, in Fantastic Voyage, we talk about the third bridge, which is nanotechnology, and the killer app is nanobots or nanorobots. We'll be able to send millions of them into the capillaries of your brain. They'll keep you healthy from inside your body by killing pathogens and so forth, but they'll also communicate with your biological neurons and actually extend our intelligence so that even biological humans like you and I will be enhancing our technology through this very intimate integration with our technology. And it's the nature of non-biological intelligence that it basically doubles in power every year, whereas our biological intelligence is fixed. So ultimately, you get to the 2030s, it's going to be the non-biological portion of our intelligence that predominates.
The non-biological portion. In other words, by then, we're more, that's another way of saying we're more machine than man.
Right. But it's also important to understand that nature of machine is going to be different. Right now, when you say machine, you think of something that's much less sophisticated, less complicated, less subtle, less supple than, say, a human being. The nature of a machine is going to change. Machines will actually be as subtle and as intelligent and as complex and deep and funny as human.
And funny, did you say?
Yes, I mean, that's part of human intelligence. That's something that human beings do. We have a sense of humor. We have emotions. In fact, it's our emotional intelligence and things like getting the joke or having spiritual experiences or relationships.
Yeah, but funny.
That's the cutting edge of human intelligence.
It certainly is. Funny is really out there. I mean, it would have to be
That is the ultimate in human intelligence. Really requires all of our mental faculties to be funny.
Let's say we achieve that, and I understand the implications of what you're saying. Go back to iRobot and look at the premise presented, you know, the three laws of robotics. By the way, do you think those three laws are reasonable? Is it reasonable that if you had something of that intelligence, that much intelligence, that you would lay down those three laws as, you know, the basic premise operating system?
Well, they're reasonable laws, except that they overlook the extent to which our biological and non-biological intelligence is going to merge. It's not going to be clear cut. You can say, okay, robots on the right side of the room, human beings on the left.
They're going to
be all mixed up.
Oh, boy.
And it's not going to be a clear distinction. In fact, our biological people like you and I are going to become, in large measure, non-biological also.
So it's not going to be humans against machines. It's going to be the humans are the machines.
Right, and we're already enhancing our experiences through our machines. I mean, I talked to
a degree
one woman who said, you know, her son's computer might as well be in his brain because he walks around with it all the time, and it's really an extension of his communication with the world. I mean, I feel that way. I mean, you know, the internet is an extension of our nervous system, and it ultimately will really integrate with our nervous system. So it's we're already expanding human intelligence as a species. Our civilization does intellectual feats that we certainly could not do without our technology already today.
I've actually interviewed scientists on this show, Ray, who connected themselves to computers. They did it through a nervous system in the arm.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty strange, freaky stuff, but they were going to actually allow communication directly to their brain through some nerves. I mean, that was the idea.
We actually have practical applications of that. I mean, there's an FDA-approved implant that we talk about in Fantastic Voyage, and this exists today, that replaces the neurons that are destroyed by Parkinson's disease. And the latest version of this neural implant actually allows you to upgrade the software for your neural implant from outside the patient.
Oh, brother.
And the biological neurons, you know, near this computer that are placed in people's brains receive signals from the computer.
Yes.
And are just as they used to get signals from the biological neurons that used to be there before they were destroyed by Parkinson's, And they're perfectly happy to get signals from an electronic device.
Which enables them to...
And so we already have examples of people walking around who have computers in their brains, and their intelligence is now a function of both biological and non-biological intelligence. Now, you know, the threshold today is that we're overcoming certain diseases, but ultimately we'll actually go beyond our, you know, biological capabilities through this sort of intimate merger with our technology.
It's hard to even imagine. I mean, at that time, when we actually are at that point, what is our society going to be like? It's going to be very different than now, is it not?
Well, it's going to still be fundamentally a human society, and even the non-biological portion, in my view, is going to be human, because it's going to be based on the reverse engineering of human brains. It's going to be patterned on human intelligence. It's going to be an extension of our human civilization and an expansion of it, and we've already expanded our human civilization through our technology.
Well, you're almost calling it a natural or evolution. You're almost calling this evolution, aren't you? You're saying it will be human. It will be part of the human.
Well, this is interesting. We actually, when we talk about this in Fantastic Voyage, how our technology actually is a continuation of the evolutionary process that led to the technology creating species in the first place.
Well, that's almost like a religion then, or it could be. And by the way,
it's an observation about evolution. Evolution accelerates. The first step, the evolution of DNA, took billions of years. And it's the nature of evolution that it works through indirection. It creates something, and then it uses that something to create the next stage.
Uh-huh.
So then it used DNA. The Cambrian explosion, you know, went 100 times faster, and biological evolution kept speeding up. Then our species, Homo sapiens, evolved in only a few hundred thousand years. Then the next step, which was the first steps of technology, went a little bit faster, took only tens of thousands of years for fire, the wheel, stone tools. And then we always use the latest generation of technology to create the next stage of technology. So today we use the most advanced computers to design
new ones,
the next generation of computers, and it only takes, you know, a few months to do that. And major paradigm shifts like the World Wide Web, which have really transformed things, only took a few years to come into being.